Hello, I'm Sean Granite. Imagine your family home set upon rolling historic lands, combining the very best of rural and urban living. 30 acres. Don't get left behind.
Terms and conditions apply. Terms and conditions apply. Terms and conditions apply. Terms and conditions apply.
Once a utopian dream.
I'm proud to present 30 acres.
Now a sprawling ghost estate.
This was meant to be the town centre originally over here, but they didn't quite get to it.
Three remaining inhabitants.
Who the hell are you and how did you get into my house?
Here, let me ask you this, you fucking stuffed shirt.
That's the beauty of living in a ghost estate. You pretty much can do whatever the fuck you want.
And the liquidator, intent on evicting them.
You've all been given notice. You've got 30 days to get out. 30 days. Get out. Do it now.
One bankrupt developer.
It's not like we haven't made sacrifices, you know what I mean?
And his wife, Pat.
You see, Colin, the thing is, I don't want you coming down here from RTE just to be painting us as big bad wolf. You see, we're nothing could be further than the truth, yeah?
This is the story of a failed government housing project and the three people left fighting for their homes. From RTE Documentary on One and RTE Drama on One, my name is Colm, and this is 30 Acres. Episode 2, The Hunt for Sean Granite. It's December 2009. I'm embedded in 30 Acres in the company of its three remaining inhabitants, Holly, Glenn and Isolt. All three face eviction as a government-appointed liquidator moves to sell on the estate. The town's developer, Sean Granite, lives nearby with his wife, Pat. He is Holly's uncle. Once a Celtic tiger, he is now bankrupt. And, well, that's very bad news for Glenn, Isolt and Holly.
Hi, Uncle Sean. It's me again. Please, can you let me know what's going on with my house? Just ring me back. I just have to know what's going on, like.
It's been 2 weeks since Holly was evicted from her home in 30 acres.
Everything I owned in that bag you're carrying.
I'm helping Holly move her remaining belongings to her temporary accommodation at Glenn's house.
Glenn's place is grand and he's been great in all fairness. Let me set up my stuff in his man shed.
In his man shed?
We arrive at Holly's new digs at Glenn's house and she leads me down through an overgrown garden to an unusual aluminum-clad shed. I look around the strange enclosure that is Glenn's man shed. His collection of military and survival gear is extensive.
Are those full tins of beans up there?
They're not just beans. No, there's sweet corn, peas, spaghetti hoops.
I notice an elaborate water filtration system, a chemical toilet, and at least three boxes of out-of-date iodine tablets. But it's a strange 1916 shrine near the back wall that really catches my eye.
That man there now is actually my great-great-grandfather.
Oh, yeah. Way, really?
Yeah, he was in the old IRA, like when they were good, like.
I'm a little unsettled to see this side of Glenn's life, but it does feel like a bizarrely appropriate birthplace for an idealistic social campaign. 30 Acres says no.
We hereby declare the right of the residents to the ownership of 30 acres and to the unfettered control of its destinies. We declare the ownership of the residents' homes to be absolute and final, irrespective of changes in the financial situation of the associated property developer and or lending institution / institutions. We further proclaim as sacred the residents' fundamental right to a home, to a roof over their heads, and possibly a garden with a small shed for the purpose to be decided at the residents' discretion, signed on behalf of the residents of 30 acres.
The team want to get the manifesto off by email, and Isolt needs to lodge an appeal to her eviction order. But these cash-strapped survivalists don't have smartphones, and the rural broadband is at the non-existent level you'd expect in a ghost estate. That's when I notice three pairs of eyes on me.
You must have internet on your phone. We can use that.
Sorry, Isolt, but I can't have my phone be used. Cool. Like to potentially interfere with... It's a government issue.
Your little RT phone. Sorry, pay our TV licence.
Yeah, but it's an RT phone, right? I'm an investigative journalist, right? I'm one of the top ones in the country, right? If my phone activity is subject to freedom of information, then I'm open to all sorts.
Colm, it's
sorry.
Only a couple of emails. It's emails.
Yeah, but I can't risk it.
It's not
it.
Fucking...
I can't risk it.
Oh, look,
sorry.
If you want to raise awareness, all right, you open an Instagram account. We need to be looking for Sean, not writing manifestos in a goddamn bomb shelter. This is Unabomber shit, like.
Well, what's wrong with it?
We need to rile people up, get the blood pumping.
Glenn, I'm starting to get worried about you, like, and all this gear. Are you depressed or what, like?
Well, that's just offensive, that is.
That's not a nice thing to say.
Who is this guy on the wall here, like? He's emaciated.
Emaciated? That's Tom Barry. He invented guerrilla warfare.
All right, Tom Barry, and who's this guy?
It's a woman. It's Countess Markovitch.
Glenn, what is this? Is this a gun?
Holly, don't even think of touching that now, right? That was my great-grandfather's.
This is actually kind of class, like.
Holly, listen. Holly, put that down now, right? I'm serious now, right? Don't be...
I'm Michael Collins.
Don't be waving that
you
around.
Take
that's an
my
actual
place.
Gun.
Holly, I really don't think you should be doing that, like.
I don't know where you are, Sean Granite.
Holly.
But I will look for you and I will find you.
Holly, will you cop on, will you? That's not even the same film.
The team splits in two. Glenn and Isolt will visit Pat Granite's mansion to blag some time on the internet. Holly goes her own way in the hope of finding her Uncle Sean. She has truly entered the spirit of Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, I kind of got carried away with Glenn's gear.
Purloining full camouflage from Glenn's stash of military kit.
Night vision goggles are cool too, no?
Okay, so here's one for you and one for you.
Glenn is taking no chances with his military planning.
Stay on channel 9.
They agree to keep in contact using a pair of walkie-talkies from his man cave.
Oh,
countered a highly unnecessary walkie-talkie situation. Over.
Will you stop messing, Holly? They're not toys. This is a valid precaution and you don't know who's listening in your conversation. Okay?
Just drive, Glenn. Just
drive. Over.
Can I put this recorder on the dashboard?
Yes, just put it on
no
there.
Bother.
Come on,
just
let's
walk
go.
Away, okay?
It's over. Bye.
See you guys.
Sean, but I can't see him. I checked the chipper, right, which is where he always is, and I can't.
Check around the other side.
I checked around the other side already. There's just a vat of grease there. His handprint is in it, like, but he's not there. I checked the bookies.
Yeah, I checked the bookies.
No, there's nothing until the 5:15. There's no one in there.
Jump up on the picnic table and see if he's down below the lower field, yeah?
There's no chance he's gone into the lake, is there? Fuck it, I know, like.
Glenn drives us the short journey to Granite Mansion. Isolt is averse to spending time with people, so it's a rare opportunity for both inhabitants of 30 acres to get to know each other.
I'm part of the first wave. I'm here, you know, since the original project went up.
Right, yeah.
So I would have been here in the first block.
Okay.
Isolt is here, like, 11 months.
Alright, so you bought in recently enough, did you, Isolt?
Yeah, what did you get it for again, Isolt?
16 grand.
What? 16,000?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Are you serious?
Yeah, why, what did you pay?
About 25 times that, anyway.
Plus.
Jesus, people are morons.
Then mind that potholder, will you? Mind it?
Watch.
Which one?
What we're doing is we're getting to the house, get this manifesto, get it all sorted out. Okay? So hold on tight.
Jesus, hang on, will you? Jesus.
Faster, Glenn, faster. We need to get it in before lunch. Those fuckers in the office won't be there. Faster, Glenn.
Hang on, will you? Mind that pothole.
It's grand, it's grand. Will you stop? No, nearly there now. We're nearly there, okay?
Right.
Relax a small bit.
Oh!
Here we are.
Nice one, Glenn.
We somehow arrive safely at Granite Mansion.
Quick, she's still here, I think. Quick.
Okay, okay, okay.
There's her car.
Don't give the game away now, guys, okay? Straighten up.
Come on. Look sharp.
Go.
We make our way up the long driveway that leads to Sean and Pat's three-story mansion on the hill.
I hope she's here now. She usually plays pitch and putt on the Sundays.
Startling lack of imagination.
Yeah. Knocking's better, isn't it?
Oh, goodness me, now. Look at the scatter, there's loads of
And you brought the recording equipment and everything. Isn't that marvellous?
How are you doing, Miss Granite?
Hiya, Glenn. Nice to see you. Actually, I need to have a word with you because we want to extend the extension out back, so I need to have a talk. Oh, yeah. Colm.
Hello, Pat. How are you?
You're back, yeah.
I am. Are you well?
Grand now. Yeah. Hope the documentary's going well. You're meeting loads of nice people, yeah.
Great, thanks.
Don't know you now. Who's this girl?
Woman. Isolt.
Insult?
Isolt. I'm your neighbour.
Miss Granite, we were just wondering if we could use the broadband for half an hour, possibly.
Right, well, I have to nip out shortly, so I don't know about that, really.
Ah, well...
It'll only take a few minutes. We're just sending a couple of emails, literally.
Please, Miss Granite, it's to do with the repossession letters. You know, we're campaigning to raise awareness.
Oh, God, yeah, it's terrible what's going on, isn't it, in our small, peaceful little town? Right, sure, so come on in for a minute. I suppose you want to look at the place while you're here, will you?
Pat can't resist giving another tour of her sprawling abode.
Insult, have you been here before? You haven't, no?
No.
What do you think of the place? Isn't it nice?
As I'm sure you know, Miss Granite, Alistair Crowe has offered us 8 grand for our houses, and it's beyond a joke now, frankly.
Yeah, I know, you poor things. My heart goes out to you.
And we're personally after investing everything into these houses. And for me, to be honest with you, things aren't great with the ex, and I really need a gaff so my son can come and visit.
Oh, yeah, little Jack, isn't it?
Luke.
Luke, yeah, beautiful name. Listen, Glenn and Insult, I wish I could help you in some way. I really do, but I am not at liberty to disclose anything vis-a-vis the ongoing discussions with Mr. Crowe.
But aren't you, as the developers, going to take any responsibility in all of this?
We've had to tighten our belts, just like everyone else.
It doesn't look like it. State of Sean's stomach. What fuck?
Excuse me!
Sorry, Mrs. Granite. What we're trying to say is that we'd be very grateful if you'd allow us to use your broadband for 10 minutes. It would be a way for you and Sean to stand with us. Look, it's all here in the manifesto we're working on.
Jesus Christ, there's a manifesto.
We're getting it on the press today. Like, you know, we could really do with your help. One quick email and that's all we're looking for, really.
30 Acres says no. That's very negative, isn't it? Unfettered people of 30 Acres proclaim access to... Good God. Comrades in arms ready to sacrifice children for the common good... Jesus, merciful hour, no. No way. I am not one bit comfortable with this. Colm, can you just turn that thing off, please? Stop recording. Stop it right now.
Yeah, could you just mind the microphone, please?
No.
Without access to Pat's broadband, Glenn and Isolt need to find another way to get their message to the world. Once again, they turn to me.
That didn't really work out, so Colm, you're going to have to let us use your phone.
No. Explain.
Lads,
I'm very uncomfortable. Though I explained, I can't. It's an RTE phone, right?
My primal instinct to protect my journalistic integrity kicked in. And I didn't stop running until I reached a pub in a nearby town, 6 miles away. Oh. Having earlier received a tip-off from a local informer / farmer that developer Sean Granite and liquidator Alistair would be drinking here, I was exactly where I wanted to be. Sean has just received news from the vet that his horse, 30 Acres, is in foal, with not one but two baby horses.
Oh, it's a great day, Johnny!
He takes an early liquid lunch to celebrate.
Did you hear the crack, John?
I didn't know.
The foals.
He's bending the ear of John, the barman.
Twin foals, they're on the way. Unbelievable. Two for the price of one. What do you think of that?
That's great. That's great. Mm.
Sean.
How are you?
How are you doing?
I'm grand. How are you?
Well, not
I'm
so
in
bad.
Great form.
Two for the price of one, lads.
Two
for the price of one. Twins, foals.
Go away.
Two for the price of one. The marrows came good in the end. Fair play.
Congratulations. Huh?
I won't say a bad word about ISIS again.
Want to have a few drinks? Will you have a drink? I'll have an IPA.
IPA. IPA, please, for the man from RTE. IPA. No IPA. What? Will you have something else? The Lucas said, maybe.
I'll try a Guinness.
Guinness.
Do you hear that?
That's the sound of success, boys. That's the sound of success.
Back in the game.
So, you'll write about this, will you?
I'll write about it. I will indeed.
Happy ending at last.
I tell you, things are on the up. It's a big change,
things
isn't
weren't
it?
Looking great, were they?
Yeah, very.
There he is, AC.
Still,
Alistair.
Still celebrating, Sean.
Jeez, mm-hmm. Alistair, I didn't expect to see you here now.
Well, the liquidator gets a thirst every now and then.
That's why they put liquid in his name like that. You know, he's thirsty.
Pint of Guinness, please, when I get a chance, John.
How are you, John?
I'm
I didn't think it was legal for you guys to hang out like the liquidator and the...
There's no legal here. I mean, this is...
We're just two men now.
Yeah.
You know, there's no titles here, sir.
No. Just having a drink, having a bit of crack.
Right.
Welcoming the future.
You heard about the falls, you did?
I did. Well, congratulations, Sean.
Yeah.
The future's bright.
It is, isn't it?
The future's horses.
That's right. Cheers, lads.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
That pint's not ready for you yet. Give it a minute.
Oh.
Right, Sean, do you play a bit of darts?
Do you want a game?
Yes, sure. Come on inside.
Monzo, let's have a game. You play darts?
I do.
Monzo.
Alistair and Sean set up for a darts challenge. They know the lingo, that's for sure.
Well, what do we play? Do you want to win 301?
Huh?
Win 301, double in, double out, monkey ahead.
Monkey?
Go monkey.
And they play for high stakes, €100 per game.
Let's go for that.
Here's the ball.
I'm
kicks
going
off.
Back down from that. Yeah.
Throw it up for the ball there, Sean.
I think it's you, isn't it?
Just me, yeah.
Yeah.
It's inside. So double in, double out. Monkey.
Time passes, and Sean's winnings stack up.
Oh, good shot, sir.
Oh!
Very good. Very. Have you a board at home, Sean?
I have, yeah.
Chills.
It's more of a breadboard, though.
Oh, get it. No. Right, Sean, double...
Here, listen, you're losing it, Ali.
Double ten.
Double ten for me to finish, is it?
That's another...
There we go.
Quid.
And... Next one, here we go. Oh, Johnny boy! Two more pints there, Johnny.
That's what? That's a grand in total.
That's a thousand of the best.
Right, well, we should have two more drinks, please, yeah. John.
What are we doing this time, Ali?
I have an idea.
Okay. I don't like the sound of this.
2 hours, 6 pints, 4 drops, 12 bags of bacon fries, and 9 games of darts later, the game gets a little more intense.
Geez, you're on fire altogether, Sean, I have to say. What about we make it interesting?
Yeah, what do you mean?
What about we play best of three?
I'll bet you best of one. I'll bet you. I'll bet you out the door.
Why don't we do best of one and we'll play a game of halves?
What do you mean by that?
So you aim for 20s, then 19s, then 18s, then you go for the outer ring.
Sean seems a little confused, and I don't blame him. But as the pints and shots continue to flow, things start to get more interesting.
It takes all. And I'll tell you what.
What?
If you win, I'll give you back Holly's house.
Oh.
I've no need for the seaweed up the hoop situation.
Well, that's not a bad idea, no. That's not a bad idea.
But if I win, I take 30 acres.
Oh, is it?
And the foals.
What do you mean, 30 acres?
I take the horse.
You take the horse?
Sean, seriously.
What do you mean?
Holly's house, wouldn't you be happy to get her house
back? That'd get me out of trouble at home, all right. But...
And you're on fire in the darts.
Yeah, but the horse, like. Oh, big Mr. Big Man.
There's no way you're going to lose, Sean, the way you're playing.
No, all right, so. Mr. Big Man, Mr. Crow.
So, 3 different colours.
I'll take your bet. Bring it on.
Okay.
Bring it on!
Right, mark it up. Have you a bit of chalk there, John?
An hour later, surprisingly, Sean appears to have the beating of Alistair. Sean grows more and more cocky as the afternoon wears on. The booze and chicken wings have taken their toll.
I'm still all right.
I try to remain neutral.
I'm still all right.
Then Sean's luck runs out as Alistair's dart playing ability transforms from pub novice to vintage Phil Taylor.
Oh, you fell away there at the end, Sean.
Jesus Christ!
You all right, Sean?
What's the master doing? What am I after doing?
Alistair is ruthless in victory. Every inch the liquidator.
Ali, here, we go back for it again. I'll double up. Here, we'll do it again.
No, we can't double that.
We have to do it again.
No, we can't. You drive for show and you put for dough, Sean.
What are you talking about? This shit fucking poetry. Here, what are you doing?
It's the thing with these gambles, Sean. There's no such thing as a safe bet.
Oh, here, Colin.
Don't worry. I'll let myself into the stables in the morning.
Hey!
I'll see you there.
Johnny, lock that door! What are we going to do?
Jesus, Sean.
Jesus Christ,
please. You lost the horse, like.
I'm not losing the horse. Oh, I'm dead, Colin. I'm dead.
What am I going to do?
I don't know. I have to be off, actually.
All right, Joe, yeah, feck off now, yeah.
The vulture, or shark, had shown his true colours, and Sean's simple intellect was no match. I wondered how on earth such a joyous celebration had turned so dark so quickly. Meanwhile, back in Glenn's Jeep, the dashboard recorder is still rolling.
Push, will you? Push!
I'm pushing, it's fucking stuck!
Oh, for God's sake!
Stuck. Glenn and Iselt are stuck in a
Jesus
hole.
Jesus Christ, Glenn, I just don't know how you didn't see it. It's 10 foot fucking wide.
It's a big fucking pothole, all right? It's easy to drive into.
Look, you could see it from outer space. That's no excuse for driving us into the middle of the bloody thing.
Look, what if we both try pushing it?
Okay, okay. Just, Jesus.
They're running out of time to get Iselt's appeal and Glenn's manifesto sent off.
One.
I'm pushing!
Two, three. Go the
fucking. Okay, I'm doing it! Oh, Jesus Christ!
Oh. Just fucking get a bit of grip.
It's stuck again! Oh, Jesus, we're never gonna get there.
It's my favorite jeans.
Whoa! Yes. Bubba Watson, I'm on fire. How about it?
I followed Alistair from the pub. Now he's on the pitch and putt course, playing around with Sean's wife, Pat.
You can do a lot of damage with a 9-iron column.
Yeah, now you see, Alistair, he knows the score.
Of course, a 5-iron gives you that bit more length.
Oh, come on now, sure. Where would you be going with a 5-iron out here on our small little course?
Have you ever handled a proper driver? Graphite shaft.
No, I haven't. Will you go away? Will you stop
you
with
can
that?
Drive a ball 300 yards with a big Bertha.
300 yards? You and your city slicker chat here now. Eh? Jesus, you've been bamboozling me now for
I'll
days.
I'll have to take you out in the K-Club someday, Pat.
Oh, K-Club?
Just the two of us with a firm shafted club and...
Stop the
best of intentions.
Alistair, would you go? Can we get a buggy?
We'll get a buggy.
Oh, this is the two of us. Do you think... Yeah, okay. Well, pencil me in for that now. I'll make sure I'm free.
Alistair is making a strong impression on Pat, but on the 18th green, he suddenly changes the conversation.
Pat, I hate to bring this up now, but I have to. It's just on the old finances, Sean's accounts and that.
What, don't tell me that there's more.
Well, I got a call from a good friend of mine yesterday. He's a vet, specialises in equine fertility.
Right, go on.
It seems that Sean's been spending a small fortune on getting the horse 30 acres and some other horses in the family way, if you like.
What? How much exactly is a small fortune?
Well, it's not cheap, Pat. About €400,000 he's paid out over the last 5 years.
What?
Yeah, he's been lying to you, Pat. And not just about that, I'd say.
It's the second crushing blow that Alistair has delivered to the Granite family in as many hours.
Jesus Christ. Right, okay, well, maybe I might have to have a word with them when I get home or something. I don't know.
I'll have a chat with them if you want. Don't forget them, Seth.
Okay, well, if you do that for me, that would be great. Thanks, Alistair.
Now, just chip this one over the bunker and we're happy days.
Okay.
I'll get the rake.
I travel back with Pat, afraid of what she might do to Sean if she meets him while still holding the 9-iron.
Good God, does he think I'm a fucking complete fool altogether? Like, he treats that bloody horse better than he treats me.
Jeez, are you all right, Pat?
No, I'm not all right, Colin. I'm kind of upset at the moment. I kind of want to actually murder him as well. But look it, we'll do what we can. And I just, as long as I get my hands on him sooner rather than later, I'll be happy.
Like, what's the thing with the horse with him, like?
I don't bloody... No, okay? Years this has been going on. There must be some sort of allure to this beast. I don't know. Up there every evening, he spends his dinners with her. He'll be taking her off on holidays next, and I'll be sitting at home doing me knitting.
We arrive back at Pat's house and head for the stables. Above the door is a sign that reads 30 acres.
John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Christ, Sean. What the hell is going on? You better have a really good explanation for all this because I am fast losing my patience, I really am.
It's all gone, Pat. I've lost it.
You feckin' lost it, all right. You spent 400 grand on getting a horse pregnant. You've lost your bloody mind.
But it worked, Pat.
She's expecting twins.
Twins? Well, isn't that just nice for her? Isn't that just wonderful for the two of ye? Isn't that just the best news ever? For you and your wife. Oh, no, wait, sorry. She's not your wife. She's a bloody horse.
Pat.
No, Sean, no. It's one thing for you to spend more time loving that horse than loving me. But to go and spend the last half million we had for our own IVF on a fucking horse! Don't you tell me what to do! If you love her that much, then why don't you just move in with her and be done with it? I think we could all do with a good time out. If a stable was good enough for our lord, then it'd be good enough for you, you dirty old liar, and you come in, pack your bags and get the hell out of my house! Well, I hope you're happy with her and your twins!
Okay, girl.
In the course of an afternoon, Sean has lost both of his soulmates, his wife Pat and his heavily pregnant horse, 30 acres. It is heartbreaking.
You're okay, girl. Your new daddy will be good to you. You're okay. Listen here, right? None of this was meant to happen. I'm sorry about everything. Everything's going to be okay. I'm going to make sure of it. Oh, fucking hell.
I make my excuses and run the 5.5 miles back to the infamous pothole where Glenn and Isolde had come unstuck. As a trained investigative journalist, I'm able to review my research even while running. I remember that dinner at Granite Mansion. It was delicious, but intense.
It's not like we haven't made sacrifices, you know what I mean?
That night, I learned how the 30 acres show house was transferred to Holly in a slightly dodgy transaction, leaving Holly in a precarious position.
That was a cash deal. That's a kind of a... It's a family arrangement. It's not business.
It's been at the back of my mind all day. Back at the Jeep, Holly has rejoined Glenn and Isolde. She sits in the back seat.
Okay, so you're saying that every Sunday evening he goes to this place to eat his dinner?
I'm 100% Holly. I've scoped out every inch of this place and I know for a fact that Sean leaves 30 acres once a week on Sunday evening to get the all-you-can-eat Carverly in Donahue's.
100% sure. That's a very specific fact to know about someone, like.
Yeah.
Like, that's 12 miles away. We're not going to get there without a car, like, bollocks. Okay, Charlie, Tango, Banana, come in.
I'm running as fast as I can. I was in the pub and had a spine.
Look, come here. Can you just hurry the fuck up, please?
It's a bloody long road.
Hurry up, like.
Yes.
Glenn is trying to share some personal details of his life with Isolde.
There he is again. That's us at Fota in the ball pit a while back.
Why are you showing me this? That could literally be any child in the world. It's just a generic blonde head on a 3-foot body.
That's us having a picnic by the monkeys. They're after stealing my hat in that one.
Glenn, why are you doing this? I don't care.
Oh my God, Glenn, he's actually the head off you in that one.
You know, everyone says that. Oh,
Jesus Christ, how did I end up here?
He even has that kind of withering, despaired look that you have.
That's not nice, Holly.
Well, like, he's a child, you know. He shouldn't be looking so depressed like you do.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Oh, look, stop crying.
Oh. What's going on, lads?
You took your time, didn't you?
What's after? No, sorry.
Do you need an inhaler?
No, I was down in the pub with Sean. Jesus Christ, it's just been an emotional morning, sorry. Oh, just all about the... Oh, fucking hell. About the house and him not fucking signing it into your name and stuff.
What?
Oh, God.
Not signing it into my name? What are you talking about? Will you sit up straight and tell me what's going on?
What?
What are you talking about?
The house, like. Sean never put it in your name, like. It's in his name.
This is clearly news to Holly. And in hindsight, something I possibly should not have disclosed.
Oh, my God, that fucker. Glenn, put the boot down. Isolde, Cullum, help me push this fucking Jeep out here. I'm going down. Sean, get in.
At last. Come on, let's go.
You stop sweating at me, Cullum.
Right, push it, lads. Push it.
Okay.
Oh, my God, you're the weakest pack of...
Come on. All together. One, two, three. Push. Push.
Yeah.
That's it.
Glenn,
I swear, if you get me there 5 minutes quicker, I will give you free haircuts for the rest of your life.
I'm doing my best, Holly. You know, the pressure doesn't help me.
Just get me there, Glenn.
Holly, what are you going to say to Sean?
I don't know, Colm. I just want answers. Like, I'm really pissed off and I just want him to answer me.
Okay, right. This is the place. He should be in there with about, what, half an hour?
God, can you imagine eating in there?
We're back outside the pub where I spent the afternoon with Sean and Alistair. It seems they also do carvery and evening meals.
Right, I'm going to do this. Wish me luck.
Holly, let me come with you, will you?
What are you going to say to him?
I don't know, I'm going to fuck him out of it anyway, first of all.
Do you see what I see?
That's exactly what I was about to say.
His phone.
Here.
Oh my God, look. He's got a list of every journalist in the country.
Quick, before they come out.
Okay. Miriam O'Gallan's on it, for fuck's sake.
Just do it, just do it.
Done.
Do you know what? I'm really starting to like you.
You're going to like me even better now. Want to nip a gin?
All right. Very good. Mmm. Oh, there's a bit of a kick off that. That's nice.
Yeah, I make it with thistles and elderflower.
Mmm.
Everything's better with gin.
Do you know what? You're a great bit of stuff.
Not so bad yourself. For a lunatic.
I think I have a Kit Kat.
Behind my back, Iseult has used my phone and email to send out their manifesto to every news reporter in the country. But that was the least of my worries.
I'm just going to take the hard approach, aren't I?
Inside the Carvery restaurant, Holly has spotted her target.
Oh my God, he's carnage.
She was right. It was pure carnage.
He's putting butter on the pasta and the potatoes.
God almighty, he's a monster. Right, you gotta go over.
I'm gonna have to go over.
We approach Sean's booth and still he eats.
Uncle Sean, we've been standing there for about 5 minutes. You're going to notice us at all, no?
Holly and I sit down opposite Sean. He continues to consume incredible amounts of food while still somehow holding a conversation.
No, while I have you, I've got a bone to pick with you. Uncle Sean, I know why Alistair took my house. It's because you were too stupid to fit in the paperwork properly.
Oh, Holly, no, that's a bit harsh. If you only knew the day I've just had.
The day that you've just had?
Ah, Holly.
I took your advice, Uncle Sean, at a very delicate time in my life. I put everything I had into this house and you were too stupid to put in my name.
It's complicated, Holly. You...
But why are you working at something that's too complicated for you, stupid tick?
I'm not tick, I just didn't... The
you
forms
are tick, it's two small
and...
planks. You have to make this right, Uncle Sean.
I just not look at here.
You have to make it right.
I'm doing my best.
That's all I have. It's very simple.
It's not that simple, all right? It's not.
Well, I'll make it fucking simple.
Underneath the table, Holly has pressed something into Sean's belly. The antique 1916 revolver that was kept in Glenn's man shed.
Is that a gun?
No, okay? Everyone just needs to calm down a small bit, all right?
It is a gun.
It
Holly,
is.
What are you doing, like?
You shut up. Neither of you are in a position to be telling me what to do at all. You're going to get up. Put down the fork.
I'm finished.
Yeah, you are. You're going to be finished, I'll tell you that. You're going to answer some questions. You're going to come for a drive with me. Are you all right with that?
Yeah, are you sure about this now? Like,
I hear an awful lot of men telling me what to do in this situation and I don't appreciate it at all.
Would you like anything for dessert, sir?
Have you still got that apple cinnamon thing?
Are you actually going to order dessert?
No,
come
actually,
in
no,
this
I'm
like,
grand,
sorry,
grand.
He's actually grand. We've had quite enough.
It's impossibly tense and my mind turns to Glenn and Iseult in the car outside.
Now get up as quietly as... Colm, you're going to have to... wedge him out of here. Have you got a lever? Go carefully. My finger's on this trigger.
I'll try and wedge him out.
Stop what?
Jerry, I'll be back tomorrow evening.
Right, get into that car.
Where are we going?
We exit the restaurant with Holly's gun pushed firmly into Sean's fat back. Outside, Glenn and Iseult are still waiting in the car.
Oh, here they come. Oh, God, they've got Sean with them.
No, fair play. They must have figured it out.
That's good. Yeah, sure. I'll see you next week, OK? Yeah, I'll have to head up.
Bye.
Oh,
drive, Glenn, drive!
A fucking please would be nice,
would
Holly.
Would you drive
What's
on?
What's going on here?
Jesus Christ, Holly, why'd you bring that?
What do you mean? I had a bit of business to do, okay?
Holly, this was just supposed to be a chat with your uncle. I never signed up to this.
Uncle John just...
Holly is now waving the gun in Glenn's face, urging him to put his foot to the floor.
What are you talking about? Your manifesto mentions guns and arms like 100 times. I got the idea from you.
Jesus, Holly, that's different, right? That's just something to say to get people to listen, you know?
Yeah, well, it's very...
As we approach the end of another bizarre day in 30 acres, the bloated property developer now rides along with the very people he has failed.
Look.
Uncle John, will you just shut up, okay?
Just work this out if you just...
I'm not sorry putting about down the gun, okay? We're having to get it all figured out. Glenn, will you hurry up, like? We just stole a man, like. I've just kidnapped someone. Will you drive on?
Glenn, slow down, for fuck's sake.
Don't slow down, drive on. But Sean, will you sit back, like? There's just no fuck going on, like.
I'm afraid.
It's like, watch out, boss, he's out of Jesus. That's
alright. Oh, shit, we shot Sean. You?
It's the shellac, like. My finger slipped. You can't pick up anything with these nails.
Are you alright, Sean?
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 And with that intense cliffhanger, which will keep you all on the edge of your seats, that's the end of episode 2. Join us next time for our third episode, where things become even stranger.
The stark reality is this. I'm holding in my hand here a compulsory purchase order, which gives me power to move ahead with the demolition of your home in the next 24 hours.
What?
30 Acres is written by me, Colm Tobin.
And me, Aidan O'Donovan.
The series is narrated by me and performed and improvised by the cast, which includes... Barbara Bergen in the role of Iseult, Shane Casey as Glenn, and John Colleary as Sean.
With Philippa Dunn as Pat, Barry Murphy as Alistair, and Stephanie Preisner as Holly.
You also heard Troika as 30 Acres the Horse, and Rory the Pig as himself.
The series is produced by me, Liam O'Brien, for RTE Documentary N1, together with Tim Desmond, Ronan Kelly, Sarah Blake, Nicolene Greer, and Shauna McGreevy.
And by me, Kevin Brew, for RT Drama on One with Kevin Reynolds and Goretti Slavin.
And sound design is by me, Damien Chanel.
No animals were harmed in the making of this series, with the possible exception of Sean Granite.
If you have any information on the current whereabouts of Alistair Crowe, please contact us immediately and in confidence. You can submit an anonymous tip on our website, rte.ie/30acres.
Until next time, thanks for listening.